To all the saints of St. John and to all those saints and our Lord gathered here this day, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We do not like change. We do not like to change, and we do not like things around us changing. This includes our beliefs, our opinions, our habits, our surroundings, our friends, our family. We are a stubborn people. We often hear this is true because we are Lutherans, and Lutherans do not like to change. And many think Lutherans do not like to change because Lutheranism is rooted in Germany and its history. And Germans do not like to change. True or not, Germans and Lutherans and we are not alone. It is within our nature to dislike change. Change tends to create discomfort and uncertainty, often unfounded, but present nonetheless. Now, there may be some around us, some out there who are the free spirits, who are more open to change. But I would bet that even at their core, change can be unsettling. And Jesus may even move us in the direction of unfounded change being foolish when he questions the crowds about John the Baptizer. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? I have no problem with flexibility in trivial matters when it comes to change, such as a different but hopefully not worse route showing up on my GPS, or what color the walls in the church's hallways should be. When it comes to more important matters, however, such as views on morality, society, and theology, there should be a resistance to change. If such things are to be altered, there had better be a solid foundation and reason for doing so. When commanded to recant of his heretical writings, Luther strongly and properly stated, "Unless I am convinced by scripture and sound reason, I cannot and will not recant." It should come as no surprise, then, that the Pharisees, the scribes, and the elders of the people resisted Jesus and ultimately refused and rejected him. The religious leaders of the Jewish people were well-rooted in their opinions and beliefs about the Jewish faith. On many occasions, they had seen Jesus teach in ways that contradicted their well-founded beliefs, their message as the scribes and the Pharisees of the people. And Jesus made it a practice to work on the Sabbath by performing miracles of healing after preaching and teaching in the mornings in their synagogues. This behavior infuriated the Pharisees. With this new rabbi offering differing understandings of Scripture, and by him breaking the third commandment in their eyes, they could not trust Jesus. And the reasons that he gave for his actions did not suffice for the religious leaders, even though Jesus' reasons were biblical and sound. The Pharisees did not have in their minds the good news about God from Isaiah 43, where God does say, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" The religious leaders did not perceive it. They did not see the new thing springing forth in Jesus. They were strictly remembering the former things and fervently considering those things of old. In the presence of Jesus, all of that changes. No matter what they had thought before, no matter what they had done before, they were to listen to Jesus. They were to obey Him and follow Him as Son of God. Instead, they fulfill the prophecy of Jesus in the parable from today's gospel lesson. There, in the midst of the Jerusalem temple, with many of the Passover pilgrims huddled around, and with the religious leaders listening in to Jesus, Jesus spoke of what had happened in the past and what would soon happen there. The vineyard in the parable is God's people, and the tenants were those Pharisees, priests, and scribes entrusted with their care. Under their watch, under their guidance, the faith of God's people was to grow and to be directed back toward God, not toward the tenants themselves. One final chance would be given these men, these workers of the vineyard. What would they do with it? What would they do with the vineyard owner's son? Christ standing before them. Would they turn the people of God over to His care? Or would they work to secure their dominance, even in the face of God's own Son? The religious leaders finally would reject the Son too. They threw Him out of the midst of God's people, and they killed Him by hanging Him on the cross. As prophesied by Jesus, the vineyard is now no longer in the care of those tenants. And no longer is the vineyard merely the nation of Israel. Now, all of those who trust in Christ Jesus are His vineyard, and those men called and ordained to care for it are its tenants. God's patience in this salvation history is quite astounding and practically ridiculous in our eyes. Time and time again, God sent His prophets to bring the people back on track, proclaiming the truth of God's word in the face of opposition to those fallen from the faith. Those leaders of the people who led them astray were not immediately removed of their duty after failing to point the people to the Savior. God's patience remains today in the rejection of His Son, the cornerstone. God secured the salvation of His people. Forgiveness of all sin has been won. God has once again entrusted His people to His servants, those pastors of the church. They must resist the strong temptation to make their work as the keepers of the vineyard from becoming about them. Their task, their number one priority, is always to keep Jesus Christ and Him crucified in front of that vineyard, that people, so that their faith always rests in Him. The religious leaders of the Jews resisted God's desire to do a new thing in their midst. And that new thing was the arrival of God in human flesh. Jesus is the anointed one, set apart to do the work of salvation for all of creation, so that all sinners can return to the Father through faith in the Son. That is the new thing, completely well-founded in the truth, the Word of God. And those Pharisees, scribes, and elders of the people rejected the work of Jesus as they desired to keep the vineyard for themselves, to keep the people under their control. Their grave error was to think that the vineyard was important because they were its keepers. We all face the same temptation today when we think the church lucky to have us in its midst, that God is pleased that we are a part of His people. Rather, we are to be utterly thankful each and every day that God has seen fit to include us, wretched sinners though we are. Graciously, He has included us in His people through the work of Christ on the cross, forgiving our sins daily through word and weekly through sacraments. That is the new thing we will cherish forever. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ. Amen.